Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else that kind of pops into my mind that helps me get this whole mental health thing under control. Now, I did mention about our league that me and my playgroup started, and I talked about how I built Kroxa, Titan of Death's Hunger. And I do believe I also mentioned we set a rule in that you can only run one commander for four games. Four games is essentially 1 month worth of games. After that, you have to swap it for something else or build something else. That doesn't mean you can't build something else. So I showed up to our first game day with Kroxa and a second deck. So I played Kroxa in the first game, did not do terribly well because there's just a lot of graveyard hate that my cousin ended up hitting all of his graveyard hate early. And in game two, I pulled out my second deck, which is a white-blue deck. It's Heliod the Radiant Dawn, which flips into Heliod the Warped Eclipse. So, Heliod is 2 white-white for a 4-4 god. When Heliod the Radiant Dawn enters the battlefield, return target enchantment card that isn't a god from your graveyard to your hand. That's not going to come into play very often, and it has transform for 3 and then a Phyrexian blue. Activate only as a sorcery. This is the side that we kind of built around. It is a 4-6 Phyrexian god. You may cast spells as though they have flash, and your spells cost 1 less to cast for each card your opponents have drawn this turn. Now, part of the reason I went with this was I also pulled an Archangel Elspeth that I wanted to play, which is 2 white-white for a 4 loyalty Elspeth. The plus 1 is create a 1-1 white soldier creature token with lifelink. Minus 2 is put 2 +1/+1 counters on a creature. It becomes an angel in addition to its other types and gains flying. And its negative 6 is return all non-land permanent cards with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. The two main things we're going to do here is we're going to be making soldiers and we're going to be putting counters on our like non-flying creatures that we have just to make them a little more evasive. But I kind of got this idea for like a token-y deck because I also have a Chrome Host Seed Shark, which is 2 and a blue, 2-4 Phyrexian Shark. It has flying. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, incubate X, where X is a spell's mana value. And then I kind of fell down this hole of incubator tokens with, like, Progenitor Exarch, which is XX white for a 1-2 Phyrexian Cat Cleric. When it enters the battlefield, you incubate 3X times, and it has tap, transform, target incubator token you control. So I kind of looked into like this go wide white blue with some disruption and then like flying stuff. I ended up pulling a Wrath Weatherlight Stalwart, which is a white blue human wizard for it is a 1/3 human wizard for a white and a blue. Thank you. Sorry. But whenever you cast an instant sorcery spell, you can tap 2 untapped creatures you control. If you do, draw a card. That's great. But it's there for the second ability this time. It's 3 white-white. Creatures you control get +1/+1 and vigilance till end of turn. So, league games do tend to go long. This will give us a way to be able to attack and then also defend. And then I just kind of threw, you know, like, flyers and one of the things I really like about opening March and the Machine was I got access to just so many battles. So, in this deck, I'm running 5 of them. I have the invasion of Xerix, Kamigawa, Dominaria, Vryn, and Belenon. And it's just, you know, give it to somebody who doesn't have flyers, start swinging in with flyers, flip the things, get more value. honestly, I might build out a deck with Heliod when the league is done. I did pull a second Heliod in that box. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I'll do like a Heliod white-blue Enchantress list. Run like a backup commander that's like goes to St. Draft. I don't know. I think I'm onto an idea there. But that's enough time talking about this. I will take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about a Naya deck that isn't dinosaurs. I'll be right back. Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff. Believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks, but that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And welcome back. Now, I do want to talk about a Naya deck that I put together just with the stuff I had laying around that I didn't have in a deck that I liked to use, so I threw it in a deck. And that starts with the actual commander, which is Samet, Vice of Descent, which is 3 red-green for a 3/4 human warrior. It has flash, double strike, vigilance, and haste. Other creatures you control have haste, and then you can pay a white and tap it to untap another target creature. I ended up going with this over the Aftermath version of Samet, which is Vizier of Nectamoon. Mostly because I had some white stuff that I also wanted to throw into basically this Gruul Stompy deck. But I am running the other Samut. I don't know. It's 1 a red and a green for a 2/3 human warrior cleric. Has first strike, vigilance, and haste instead of double strike. And whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, if that creature entered the battlefield this turn, draw a card. So yes, there is a cool version of this deck that doesn't run white, and it's just red-green hasty stuff. But that's not what I wanted. Mostly because of the things that I have that hit white that I wanted to put in there. Things like Ulthelm, Sigarden Outcast, which is 1 green white for a 2/2 human. You can pay 2, tap it, and choose target creature card in your graveyard that was put there from the battlefield this turn, return it to the battlefield tapped. So it's just a little bit of protection. We have Hamza, Guardian of Arashin, which is 4 green white for a 5/5 elephant warrior. It costs 1 less to cast for each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it. And creature spells you control cost 1 less to cast for each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it. There is a small +1/+1 counter theme throughout the deck. It's nothing that we're going hardcore into, but, you know. Things like Shalai, Voice of Plenty, 3 and a white for a 3/4 angel with flying, and you, planeswalkers you control, and other creatures you control have hexproof. But its secondary ability, 4 green-green, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Or like Shalai and Halar, which is 1 and then Naya. For a 3/3 angel elf, it has flying and vigilance, and whenever 1 or more +1/+1 counters are put on a creature you control, Shalar and Halar deal that much damage to target opponents. So we can just start, you know, pinging people. We also have Brightpalm, Soul Awakener, which is 1 and Naya. For a 4/3 Fox Shaman, it has backup 1. and the ability of, whenever this creature attacks, double the number of +1/+1 counters on target creature. That creature can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less this turn. So, yeah. Especially this one with, say, our commander, which is Samet, Voice of Descent. You play Bright Palm, you put the counter on Samet, right? Samet gives Bright Palm haste. With the backup ability on Samet, you attack with Samet and the Bright Palm, and they both trigger. So the first one says, hey, when this creature attacks, double the number of counters on target creature. So Samet goes from 1 to 2. Then the second one hits it, and it goes from 2 to 4. But honestly, the rest of the deck is just a lot of stuff I had laying around that I didn't have a home for. Things like Svela, Ice Shaper. One red green for a 2/4 Troll Warrior. You can pay 3 and tap it to create a colorless snow artifact token named Icy Manolith with tap, add 1 mana of any color. And for 6 red green, you can tap it and look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may cast a spell from among them without paying its mana cost. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So this facilitates us getting to our big beat stuff. I got a Miri Weatherlight Duelist I threw in here. 1 green white for a 3/2 Cat Warrior with First Strike. Whenever Miri Weatherlight Duelist attacks, each opponent can't block with more than one creature this combat. And as long as Weatherlight Duelist is tapped, no more than one creature can attack you each combat. So this is really to help keep us able to swing without taking too much of a crackback. So we attack in. They can only block with one thing. They're probably going to try and block the biggest thing, and Mary's going to get through. And then everyone else can only attack you with one creature. So, yeah. Let's go through and just talk about a couple of the dragons that I had laying around that didn't have a home. So, in this deck, that really comes down to 3 dragons. The first one being Skyline Despot. Despot. 5 red-red for a 5/5 dragon with flying. When it enters the battlefield, you become the monarch. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you are the monarch, you put a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying onto the battlefield. Terror of Mount Velis is another fun thing to do with your commander. It's 5 red-red for a 5/5 dragon with flying and double strike. When it enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain double strike till end of turn. Samet herself already has double strike, but this gives everything double strike, and then with Samet giving this haste, it's just a good way to get through a lot of damage. Terror of the Peaks is the other dragon we're running. It is 3 red-red for a 5/4 dragon with flying. Spells your opponents cast that target Terror of the Peaks cost an additional 3 life to cast. And whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, Terror of the Peak deals damage equal to that creature's power to any target. So, yeah, we're just big, beefy, beatstick stuff. And again, it was like stuff I had laying around, so there is not a Crater Hoof Behemoth in here because I just didn't have one to put in here. But I do have Dawnglade Regent, which is 5 green-green for an 8/8 elk. When it enters the battlefield, you become the monarch, and as long as you are the monarch, permanents you control have hexproof. And in that same vein, we're running Regal Behemoth, which is 4 green-green for a 5/5. It says lizard on the card, but I do believe this has been eroded into a dragon, or not a dragon, a dinosaur. It has trample. When it enters the battlefield, you become the monarch, and whenever you tap a land for mana while you're the monarch, you double your mana, essentially. And then I guess I will round this out with the two, I guess we call them the bad versions of Crater Hoof Behemoth. The first one being Pathbreaker Ibex. 4 green-green for a 3/3 goat. But whenever it attacks, creatures you control gain trample, and plus X on determine X is the greatest power among creatures you control. The biggest downfall here is that you essentially have to be giving it haste for it to be quote-unquote good. So with our commander giving it haste, it's easy to justify putting it in here. And the other one we have is the End Raise Forerunners, which is 5 green, green, green for a 7/7 boar. It has Vigilance, Trample, and Haste. And whenever End Raise Forerunners enters the battlefield, other creatures you control get +2/+2, and Vigilance and Trample till end of turn. So again, they are the bad Crater Hoofs, but for what this deck is trying to do, which is just put creatures in play and turn them sideways and, you know, have fun with it, it works. And yeah, I think that's about where I'm going to leave this. I hope you all have a wonderful whatever portion of the day it is when you get this, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.